Good evening, welcome. Merry Christmas Eve. It's so fun to have all these kiddos in here. Will you guys stand with us? We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. The nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Hey, before you guys take a seat, let's go ahead and read so I don't make you do it again, okay? We are in Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 1, read through 10, and then be quick because I know we got some little people in here, okay? You guys can read with me on the screen above. Guys, if you are usually in children's ministry, the reason your parents are standing to listen to the Bible being read is because this is the inspired word of God. And so we show honor and respect to the Bible by standing and listening to it, okay? Let's read this together, Isaiah 11. It says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with his rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples of him, shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." This is the word of the Lord. You guys can take a seat. Guys, I'm going to be quick, and honestly, if you have little people that get impatient and start making noise, you're fine. Don't even worry about it. You can also go to the lobby if you need to, but know that we are not bothered by that. Okay, guys, in this Advent season, we have been walking through a series called Hope for a Disoriented World. We started that all the way back at the beginning of Advent, where JR started us off at the beginning of Genesis, where we saw all the disorientation and the chaos start when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And so in Genesis chapter 3, God starts telling us the consequences of that rebellion. Things like, from here on out, work's going to be hard, and relationships are going to be hard, and raising kids is going to be hard, and now everybody's got to wear clothes, and we're all going to die. Okay, just to kind of sum up the consequences of the fall. But at the same time, he also starts making promises about the fact that some point in the future, everything was going to be made right. It's this Hebrew idea of the word shalom, which one author simply described as the way that things ought to be. And so God, in addition to giving consequences, starts making promises about this future that would come where everything would be set right back to the way that it was intended to be, back to its intended creative end, because it had been fractured by the fall. So God makes promises that this is coming in the future. And he tells us that this restored shalom was going to come through the seed or the offspring of a woman, which is just a weird way to say a person, okay? So this restored newness of the earth and of all of creation is coming through a person. And the text that we just read in Isaiah chapter 11 is this prophetic text that does two things. It gives us the identity of this person that this restored shalom is going to come through, and also gives us this picture of the future shalom, okay? So that's all we're doing. We're looking at identity and what the future looks like first. Let's read verse 1 again. It says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." Two questions. Who in the world is Jesse? What did they do to his tree? Okay? Those are the two things we're looking at here. Well, Jesse was the father of King David, who was the greatest king in the history of Israel. And the tree is a metaphor for Israel itself that Isaiah established back in chapter 6. Okay? And see, what's happening here is that Isaiah himself, as a prophet, lived in some very dark days for the nation of Israel, in that the awesomeness and the glory that Israel was during the time of David is no more, and these people are about 100 years away from being defeated by Babylon and carried off into exile. And so the future demise of this nation is allegorized or as a metaphor in this stump that we read about. And in chapter 6, the stump was actually burning, so it's not good, okay? But what Isaiah says here is that a shoot is going to come from this stump, a shoot being like a new tree, okay? There's a new tiny little growth coming from this stump. Then Isaiah shows us the future and the things that this shoot was going to bring into the world. But before we get to that, I want us to look again at verse 10. Look here. It says, "In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire." And so we see in this first that this person who is the shoot coming into the world is not going to be just for Israel. It's going to be for all people. And what that tells us is that from the beginning of time, this isn't a New Testament thing that Jesus like switched his plan some point in history. Instead, the plan was always for all people. This is coming out of the Old Testament, okay? So this shoot is coming good news to all people. Second thing we see here, and the bigger thing I want us to focus on, is that in verse 1, we're told this person is a shoot from the stump of Jesse. But in verse 10, we saw that this person is the root of Jesse. So the question is, how can a person be both the shoot that is coming from the stump and also be the root that the stump is coming from? How in the world can someone be a shoot and a root? Well, the only thing that makes sense of this is what we know of Jesus Christ. Okay, because in Christianity, Jesus Christ is not just a really good person. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a person who started a new religion. Jesus Christ is the God of the universe who created all things and holds all things together. Amen? And so the only way that this text makes any sense is by looking at the person and the work of Christ, who, as the creator of all, also created Jesse. So Jesse, just like you and me, has come from God, who is Jesus. But on top of that, this Savior that was going to come into the world and to bring the shalom that Isaiah is talking about in this text, this shoot is also found in the person and the work of Jesus. Okay, so in this text, we see that Jesus, as God, is the root of Jesse, but he's also the shoot coming from Jesse, which is pretty awesome, okay? Now, for the Bible nerds, real quick, okay, you might be asking, if David is the greatest king in the history of Israel, why is this shoot not coming from the stump of David? Why is he coming out of Jesse? Well, that's a great question, okay? It's because Isaiah wanted to make the point that this coming Messiah was not just going to be this forever king sitting on a forever throne that fulfills the prophecy we got in 2 Samuel 7 about this king that would establish this kingdom, but he also wants to make the point that this coming Messiah is a greater and actually a better David, okay? So it's not just that Jesus fulfills this messianic prophecy, it's that Jesus is the truer and the greater David that is coming from Jesse. Jesus is going to be the king and establish the kingdom that David never could. Is that not awesome? Okay, you guys are excited. I appreciate that. Okay, so Jesus is the greater David. Now, that is the identity of this person, Jesus. Now I want us to look at what this shoot and root of Jesse is going to do. Look at verse 3. It says he's going to be a righteous king that judges equitably. Okay, verse 4, it says he's going to kill the wicked and bring justice to the poor. Now, I know that doesn't look like that on your translation or on mine, but this is actually a pretty messy rendering of the Hebrew here. This is some semantics, but I'm going to get into it anyways. Instead of saying that Jesus is coming to judge the poor, what it should say is that Jesus is coming to bring justice for the poor, which lines up with everything that we know about the character and the work and the person of Jesus. Now, look at what Isaiah does here next. Because in verse 6, he starts to paint this picture about this coming future, about this shalom. He says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. The little child's going to lead them. Cows and bears are going to graze. And the young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. In our world today, we know that wolves eat sheep, leopards eat goats, lions and bears eat cows, and babies don't play with snakes, okay? We know that as a general rule in our world, but this is not how it will always be. This is what Isaiah is showing us. He's giving us a metaphorical picture of the new heaven and the new earth that is coming from this root and shoot of Jesse, this Messiah that was coming to set everything right. And it's a picture of enemies being turned into friends, of toil being turned into ease, of pain being turned into joy, of tears being turned into laughter. This is the picture of all things being made new through this Messiah that was Jesus, who's bringing the shalom. That is the future that Isaiah is prophesying about, and that is our reality if you are in Christ today. That's what's coming. Now, right at the beginning of this series, we talked about how hope is made up of two distinct things. You have present desires, things you want today, and then the future expectation of what you think will fulfill those desires. That's hope. Present desires with future expectation. And we also said that your hope informs the way that you live your life today. It changes the way you experience reality. So if Jesus is our future hope, and the future hope is that everything's going to be made new, that everything will be restored to that shalom, then how should this affect our lives in the present? Well, take the difficulty of your job. You want to know why your job is hard? Because of the fall. Like, that was one of the explicit consequences of the fall. The earth is going to fight against you. Working is going to be hard. Your job's going to be hard. You want to know why relationships are hard? It's because of the fall. That's why your coworkers drive you nuts. That's why your roommate is the, in your mind, the bane of your existence. That's why parenting and marriage is hard. It's because you and those people are all affected by the fall. And the fall has made people a lot of things. It's made people mean. It has made some people judgmental. It's made some people passive. It's made some people sneaky. And it's made others just straight up obnoxious. Okay? And after something about the last couple of months has reminded me that of that list, I can be a mean person, I can be a sneaky person, but first and foremost, I am an unbelievably obnoxious individual, okay? I know JR loves me deeply, but I bug the life out of that guy, like my wife as well. I know that Catherine loves me, but I am just flat obnoxious, okay? You spend more than a day around me, you're gonna wanna go. That's typically how that plays out. And you want to know why I'm that way? It's because of the fall. It's the effect of the fall on my heart and life. But Isaiah here is painting a picture of a future where your job is going to be nothing but a satisfying, joyful experience. He's painting a picture of where your relationships are going to be easy, where my obnoxiousness will be turned into sheer fun, okay? People are going to like it at some point. But on this side of Jesus coming back, that difficulty remains and relationships will still be hard. Parenting will be hard. Your job is going to be a beating some days, and I'm going to continue to bother people. But Isaiah in chapter 11 is giving us a picture where everything's going to be set right, where wars will end because that human instinct and desire to fight for power and wealth and status will no longer be something that exists in human hearts. So there will no longer be a reason to fight. He's painting a picture of a world where disease and sickness and cancer and allergies are going to be eradicated. And I know, and I don't know if that means that Jesus is going to come in and nuke the cedar, or maybe he's going to do something to our sinus passages where it just doesn't jack us up multiple times during the year. But something's going to happen to where you won't have to get Flonase anymore. Amen? Praise God. Okay. Can you imagine a world with no chaos, no pain, no drama, no death? That, church, is what's coming for those who are in Christ in the future. And so on this Christmas Eve, may we be reminded that what we're doing in this season is not just being reminded of the fact that Jesus has come 2,000 years ago, but what we're also doing is we're anticipating the reality that he is coming again. And may we see what's coming for the people of God with the return of Christ. This future should not only fill us with longing for what that could be, but it should also soften the blows of the disappointments of this world, because we know where we're headed. We know what's coming. It should soften the blows of the things that we've experienced in this year and things that we've experienced in years past, because we know there is a glorious future waiting for those who are in Christ. And this future hope of this shalom we have in Jesus is as solid as it gets. We see it has been established in the person and the work of Christ, who came to earth as a human child, lived perfect, died innocent, rose from the grave, defeating sin and death. And so for those who put their trust in Jesus and have been changed by the Holy Spirit, there is a future waiting where we and all of creation will be made new, where everything will be set right, where shalom will be our reality. And so my last parting word to you is, don't lose heart. We have a great hope in front of us, church. This evening, as we continue to sing, we've got communion tables. I know that the logistics of that may be crazy, but as we continue to sing this evening, you are welcome to go to the communion tables to take the cup that represents the body of Christ broken, to take the juice that represents his blood that was poured out. And in a little bit, Jacob's going to get up here and give you parameters for the fire, okay? Because things are flammable and we have a sprinkler system, but we'd rather not use it, okay? Let me pray for us. We can go to the communion tables and we'll continue to worship this evening. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for this season that we have to not just celebrate the fact that you've come, but instead to anticipate what is coming. God, that shalom where all things will be made new, where death and cancer and pain will be no more. Father God, would you fill us with hope in the present? Would you remind us of what's waiting because of who you have made us in Christ? Jesus, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.